we were staff writers at Disney, and we had been working at many, many different projects.
We were working on five different projects at the same time as we were working on Poppins.
Right, and so this Poppins was the back burner thing, because there was nobody assigned really to it except DeGrotti, my brother, and myself. Nobody else on the whole studio. And at one point, Walt said, we have to get busy on this other picture and do this and this, and so we're gonna drop Poppins for a while, but we're not forgetting it, but we have to just let go of it.
He was still negotiating with Mrs. Travers.
So we gotten pretty far. We had written about 23 songs by that time. So we took the 17 of them that we thought were the most likely to wind up in the film. And we said, let's just go down to the studio and make some piano voice demos.
Chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy, chim-chim-cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be. Chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy, chim-chim-cheroo. Good luck will rub off when he shakes hands with you. Good luck will rub off when he shakes hands with you. Now as the ladder of life has been strung, you may think a sweep's on the bottom most rung. Though he spends his time in the ashes and smoke,
in this old world there's no happier bloke.
In this old world there's no happier bloke. Chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy, chim-chim-cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be. Chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy, chim-chim-cheroo.
Good luck will rub off when I shake hands with you. Good luck will rub off when I shake hands with you.
Chim-chim-cheree is a song that was born from a wonderful sketch by Don DeGrotti. Don was the first person that we worked with, aside from Walt Disney, on Mary Poppins. And one day, we came in to talk about some ideas for Poppins. And Don had been working ahead and ranging ahead and doing some thinking. And there was a minor character in the second book who was a chimney sweep.
And this was a little drawing we saw. It was only about 8x6. And it was little chimney sweep, all full of dirt, carrying his brooms and his brushes over his shoulder and whistling, walking down the street, and it was sort of foggy.
And it was just so picturesque and touching. And we looked at each other and
we agreed.
We agreed.
That's a song.
I remember the early version of it. It came about in a funny way, too. We didn't quite know what to do, and chimney is a mouthful. I mean, to get around the word chimney.
So I said to Dick, look, why don't we just start with one chimney, two chimney, three chimney sweep. Maybe that'll give us a feel.
I said, that's the worst title, the worst concept I've ever heard in my life. And I walked around the room a bit, and I kept saying, one chimney, two chimney, dum-da-da-dum, dum-da-da-dum. All of a sudden, the music just sort of sprang into being. Ran back to the piano, and we started playing with one chimney, two chimney, and we played with the word chim-chiminy. And all of a sudden, out came the concept, chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy, chim-chim-cheree. The more we learned about chimney sweeps, the more we realized there's a whole legend, the beautiful English legend of shaking hands with a sweep.
And if they smile at you, they throw you a kiss, it's good luck, and you'll be well if they touch you, and a lot of things.
So we just loved that concept, and then Walt heard one of the early versions of it and said, I think maybe Bert should be a chimney sweep when he's not doing this, and then he became the jack of all trades. When you first see Bert drawing pictures, he says,
Today I'm a
screever, and as you can see, a screever's an artist of highest degree, and it's all me own work.
From me own memory. How about that?
So that, again, is the use of the theme. So it's not just this chimney sweep song, it's Bert's song. We kept developing it, refining it. One of the major breakthroughs was the reharmonization of it. Originally, it was very basic. It had three chords, really, little basic minor chords that were the tonic, the subdominant, dominant chords. And I'll show you what I mean. Chim-chiminy, chim-chiminy, chim-chim-cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be. It was just a few little chords, and it sounded a little heavy, a little Russian. And kept bothering us. We kept talking about it, and then one day, in matter of discussion, we decided to reharmonize some of it. So it came out, chim chiminy, chim chiminy, chim chim cheree, a sweep is as lucky can be. And so it had a more of a richness, more of a universal, as opposed to a, say, a Slavic.
It wasn't strictly minor.
Yeah, it shifted to the major in a couple of places, and then it became much more of an elusive kind of a tune, and it felt better.
With some sticks and paper and strings, you can have your own set of wings. With your feet on the ground, you're a bird in flight, with your fist holding tight to the string of your kite. As you watch it flying up there, all at once you're lighter than air. You can dance on the breeze over houses and trees with your fist holding tight to the string of your kite. Oh, let's go fly a kite up to the highest height. Let's go fly a kite and send it soaring up through the atmosphere, up where the air is clear. Oh, let's go fly a kite.
We needed a heavy. We had no heavy. It was little light kiddie stories. And we said, well, maybe not a heavy, but the father should be the guy who's so busy with business that he hasn't got time for the kids. Then in the end, he's the one that helps them. And we went into our own personal lives. Our father was, Dad, was a tremendous kite maker. And he used to take us out on weekends and buy string and buy paper and mucilage. And he'd make these marvelous kites that would fly forever. And we'd send up messages. He was marvelous at it. Kids would gather around and he'd give them kites.
Originally, we had written it differently than the way you heard it, because we had kind of a very exciting, what we thought was a dynamic umpa shoving rhythm behind it.
It was a show business type of thing.
Yeah, and Walter, that's great. That ends the second act of a Broadway show that does not end my movie. And so we turned around and wrote a very English three-quarter time, and he loved that. And that's what it became.
Until you learn to see, beauty hides behind the commonplace. But through the eyes of love you can start seeing beauty face to face. Can be all you want it to be. There's a golden shore, there are silver skies. You'll see your castles rise through the eyes of love as winter snow only hides the flowers below. Every face and everyday place conceals a beauty it reveals to the eyes of love.
There is a story, I'll tell you. We had this ballad called Through the Eyes of Love. We loved it, and we thought, oh, it's all about.
And other songwriters, years hence, loved it too.
Yeah, they used that title. But we wrote that as a Mary Poppins keynote ballad. And it was a love affair between us and our little brainchild. And when Julie Andrews came out to the studio, she had a long chat with Walt, and she was very lovely with us. She was very excited about it.
She liked all the songs that we had written for her, but
she didn't like
The Eyes of Love.
And Walt said, Julie's a little unhappy with it. She wants something a little more snappy and crisp and more...
More Mary Poppins-ish.
And wow, we said, what are we going to do? And it was very depressing for us because that was what we thought our magnum opus. That was a great one. So...
We went around in circles for days and days.
We were trying to think of a slogan. I remember we were trying to think of a simple key phrase like an apple
a day, right? Something like a slogan that would be easy for people to remember. And
stitch in time saves nine.
Right.
Practice makes perfect.
Anyway, nothing worked. And I went home depressed. He went home depressed. And
night after night.
Night after night. And one day, my older boy, Jeff, who was then only about 9 or 8, came home from school. I said, how was school, son? And he said, okay, we had our sock vaccine today. I said, oh, did it hurt? He said, oh, no, they just give you a little lump of sugar and put some medicine in the middle and you just eat it. It's nothing. I said, no kidding. Next day, I said, Dick, what do you think of this? A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
And I said, that is one of the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard in my life. And with that, I took a walk again. And as I was walking about, I said to myself, spoonful of sugar help. What a silly idea. Medicine go down. And every time I said down, I said, Mary Poppins says stay awake when she wants them to go to sleep. So if we say in the music, go down, go up with the music. And I got very excited and came running back into the room. And Bob said, what's the matter with you? I said, I got an idea. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, the medicine go down, medicine go down. That's Mary Poppins. And he said, that's Mary Poppins. We both said, yes, that's Mary Poppins.
Early each day to the steps of St. Paul's, the little old bird lady comes. In her own special way, to the people she calls, come buy my bags full of crumbs. Come feed the little birds, show them you care. And you'll be glad if you do. Their young ones are hungry, their nests are so bare. All it takes is tuppence from you.
The one song in Mary Poppins that became the most near and dear to our hearts was Feed the Birds, Tuppence a Bag. It was one of the first songs we wrote. And it was directly inspired out of a story that Mrs. Travers created.
And was hardly changed at all.
Yeah, of all the songs we wrote, this was kind of taken in one. And another one of the wonderful people that was preserved on that film, she was very old at this point, was the bird lady, wonderful character.
Jane Darwell.
Jane Darwell. Again,
she was Ma Jode in
Grapes of Wrath.
Grapes of Wrath.
Yeah, but Jane Darwell had been retired for 20 years by that time. And we were thinking, well, who would be the right, you know, character actress? And one day in a discussion, Walt said, I know the perfect person, and I think what we should do is really send her a script and treat her as if she's the star she should be treated as. And they sent a script to Jane Darwell at the actor's home. She cried. She was so thrilled. And, of course, they sent cars for her. And it was just wonderful she was on that set, and she didn't have much to do except just be herself and say, feed the birds, tuppence a bag. But it seems to have encapsulated what we were trying to do in Mary Poppins, that is to say that it doesn't take very much to give that extra dimension, to give that extra love, and tuppence signifies little, hardly anything, and feeding the birds means giving to the people that need. And in this particular case, it was the Banks children. They needed their father and mother's attention, their love. They didn't just have to be provided for. They had to be loved and paid attention to.
Well, Walt loved this sentiment, and he felt it so deeply. And Fridays, after work, he'd usually invite us into his office, and we'd sit around.
We'd talk about things that were going on at the studio.
You know, worldly matters. And then he'd look over to Dick, and he'd say, play it.
Yeah, and I knew what he wanted, and sometimes he wouldn't even say anything. He would just look out the window and get a little misty-eyed, and we'd play it. And it was just wonderful, because sometimes he could say so much just by a look or by a silence, and we knew what he was saying. After Walt passed away, there were many a Friday afternoon that I'd go over to his office while the office was still his and there, and play it for him.
Though her words are simple and few, listen, listen, she's calling to you. Feed the birds, tuppence a bag, tuppence, tuppence, tuppence a bag.